Technology of Leadership, Section 8, Goal Setting.
How easily can you state your corporate goals? For the quarter? The year? What performance goals have you challenged your employees to meet? Do they know what they are? If you had trouble answering, you aren't alone. Most of us know we need to set goals, but most of us don't act on what we know. McClellan's research suggests that the goal-setting process itself increases the probability that a goal will be reached. How? By focusing and aligning the thought process behind it. There are four critical elements to understand about goal-setting. 1. The process of goal-setting can be the single most important factor in the outcome. If goal-setting is approached as an opportunity for open discussion, then the process is as important as the content. Everyone gets focused and committed. 2. When you increase the presence of achievement thinking, you increase the probability of success. 3. Goal setting works well with both short-term, easily defined goals, and long-term strategic objectives. 4. Under the best circumstances, there's a possibility of failure. Unpredictability is a part of life, and setting goals takes flexibility. There is no finer way to demoralize a staff than to chronically use goal setting as the weapon to coerce behavior. Goals can often become an obsession as well, and used as a weapon. When this happens, goal setting becomes counterproductive. Tom Schenck confirms how important this complete process is.
Goal setting does make a difference. It's an art, not a science, and it has an outcome. It comes as a result of this question. How will we know we've been successful? When a goal is set correctly and by a set of specific criteria, the probability of attaining the goal increases significantly. Probability is increased when the goal scores for imagery and when it passes the test of the subcategories. Scoring for imagery gives the goal personal meaning, and the subcategories make specific goal-directed thinking.
There are 6 criteria that define an effective goal. A goal must be specific, not general. Learn to be exact and write out your goal statement. The more the goal is clearly defined, the more focused action becomes. Someone might say they want to learn accounting. Is this specific? It might mean they want to become an accountant or that they merely want a working knowledge for their next job or promotion. A goal must be measurable. In other words, how will you know when you are there? How will others be able to tell? Would you run a race if there were no finish line? There must be an objective criteria used to determine whether you've reached your goal. Remember that if you can't measure it, you can't manage it. A goal must contain moderate risk. If you attended the LPMA workshop, you engaged in the ring toss game where participants could choose the length of their toss. Most chose distances that were beyond 6 feet. No one wanted to have 1-foot ring tosses. What's the fun of a sure thing? What is there to keep one's interest? Challenging but realistic goals are crucial. Realistic means it's attainable with a stretch. For those of you who participated in the ring toss exercise, realistic means between 3 to 5 feet. Anything under 3 feet and over 5 feet is considered unrealistic. A goal must be time-phased. To say that something is to be accomplished by January does not score for either specific or time. What day in January and what year? Time parameters keep the goal in focus, gauge the pace needed to succeed, and supply the necessary priority pressure. Time deadlines create moderate risk, which increases the focus on the task. A goal must be made public. Broadcast your goals to the world. Let people know what's important to you, what your priorities are for this quarter or year. If you make your goals public, people, especially those who care or count on you, can help you set yourself up to win. And most importantly, a goal must score for imagery. To execute a goal successfully, a goal has to score for achievement imagery. Without this imagery, the need that drives commitment is missing. When it scores for this imagery, it becomes meaningful. Tom Schenck explains.
Not all goals can be personally meaningful. Often we're asked from others to take on a goal that is for the corporate good, the accomplishment of which will not be personally satisfying. If, however, we can set a goal that is personally important to us, we are unconsciously striking a chord, a need that will evoke effort and energy and will increase the likelihood of reaching the goal. Ask yourself, what need does this goal satisfy? When this need is touched, the research names this as imagery, and discretionary energy is brought forth.
It's appropriate to ask an employee if a goal is meaningful. Just because a goal is important to a manager and to the organization does not necessarily make it important to the person who's going to carry it out. Commitment can't be coerced. Emotional involvement can't be mandated. The first step of the goal-setting process entails setting a goal which scores for imagery in one of the motives. When a goal is framed as an achievement goal, it provides the structure to arouse a person's achievement motive. When framed as an affiliation goal, it arouses a person's affiliation motive. And when framed as a power goal, it arouses the power motive. It's important that as you sit down with a person to set a goal, the product you produce together needs to be framed as an achievement, affiliation, or a power goal. When a goal can be framed in this way, it's satisfying. It's a good fit with their psychological needs. In summary, the goal-setting process is extraordinarily powerful when used properly. The crucial aspects are defining goals that score for imagery in one of the three motives, paying attention to specificity, measurability, appropriate risk, and time parameters. Articulating why a goal matters personally significantly increases the chance of success because the thought process and the emotional investment become linked.